You're listening to BizCraft, a live podcast about the business of web design with Carl the Jellyfish King Smith and Mean Gene Crawford.
All right, we're recording.
We'll kill you with it.
I'm gonna go ahead and do an intro. You cool with that?
I'm cool with it.
He's cool with that.
Oops. I'm just adjusting my mic.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of BizCraft. I'm Gene, and with me today is my best friend, Carl.
Oh, that's so sad. We haven't talked in months, and I'm your best friend.
You're always going to be my best friend.
Aw, Gene. Shucks.
Besties for life.
It's our annual BizCraft episode, everyone. Thank you for listening.
It's been a couple of months, but it's been a good couple of months.
Yeah.
Kinda, sorta.
Has it?
Has it been good for you?
Yeah, it has been. I didn't realize that until you asked, but it's been a good couple of months. What have you been up to?
Oh my God. Lots of stuff, man. I've officially fallen back in love with Period 3.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think it was possible. But I have.
If you can't be with the one you love, Gene, love the one you're with.
So that, and then I achieved a pretty big goal, personal goal of mine. Finally
got your black belt.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. Yeah, I lived through that. Been working on that for, 6 years, but solidly training for about a year. So
that's... Now I need to explain something to people listening, because if you went to Taekwondo, if you went to take karate like I did when you were a kid, then what it took to pass a test was basically the check had to clear. Right. And once the check cleared, you would get, and then they would start putting, you would be white, yellow, green, blah, blah. And then they started putting other colors in there.
Yeah.
Like more blue checks. Belts. Mm-hmm. And then they would put, you would get tips like brown belt, red tip.
Yeah.
And these were just ways to, charge more.
Pretty much.
These were intermediate steps. Now, what Gene did actually involved stopping steaming locomotives in their tracks with one toe.
It felt like it.
That was the way it looked. Some of the videos I saw, the rebar on the neck and the is just insane. So congratulations, because unlike most of us who went to, some crappy, the parents just wanted us out of the house karate experience. You really did something, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It was a lot of hard work. I'm
still pretty sure I could kick your ass. I just want you to know that. I'm not scared of you at all. Because all I'd have to do is say, oh, look, a dollar, and then kick you.
That would work.
But was that part of the training? Making sure you stay focused if people drop a dollar?
Yeah, that's it, man. That's the heart of it. That's awesome. Yeah. No, you honor me, man. I appreciate that. Thank you. That's good testimony.
Ooh, that was spoken like a true black belt.
Is that the way everything's going to be?
You honor me, man. Thank you.
Man, that's awesome. So what about you? You got some big stuff off the ground this year, or last year, this year,
no,
over the course of the changing year?
Yeah, the bureau stuff.
Yeah.
It's I got on stage at Front End and made this grandiose statement after regurgitating, a whole lot of my life. And I'm doing it.
Regurgitating your whole life.
So
you're doing it.
Yeah, no, it only took an hour to regurgitate my life. I left out some of the naughty bits. I mean, yeah. But Brett Harned and Lori Averett and I got together earlier this week, actually, and spent 2 days just figuring out what 2017 is going to be. Before 2017 started, we'd actually made huge strides.
That's a good time to do it before it starts, I've heard.
Yeah.
Planning.
Exactly, right? We made huge strides in just securing all these venues and knowing what we were going to be promoting and selling and all that kind of stuff. But But that's the thing. The old bureau was all about the events and promoting and selling, and the new bureau is all about community and bringing people together. And so being able to get all of that out of the way, now we can focus on the online community. And that launched on Sunday. It was mostly okay. It was a little bit of a shit show. People couldn't get in. The passwords didn't work. And I mean, it was so we could not afford to have an official member management system. Mm-hmm. So we have to do it manually. And the only way, and we had about 210 members.
Ooh, that's
that
good.
Were trying to get in. Yeah, these people are really awesome group that pre-bought. Mm. And the only way to get them in that we could afford was reset password.
Okay.
So people get a reset password link. And it worked for some people. It didn't for others. It depended on the password you put in.
Right.
I had turned off any requirements whatsoever. Mm. So if you even just put in one letter or number or special character, so long as it wasn't blank, it should have worked. Gotcha. And if I could have left it blank, I would have done that.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so it wasn't horrible. But then when people got in, they started, okay, I see the stuff. But there's so much stuff, you don't even know what it is.
I got you.
So it's we made the deadline, and now the pressure's on. And it's one of those things where, you know that if you keep working on it, you'll work on it forever.
Right.
You won't know what it is that's confusing. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you get people in there. But today, we had like three different people start conversations. This week, we've had a couple of people share files.
Oh, finally. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's all coming together. But in there, we've got, and a lot of this is Lori Averett. God, we must be coming close to 500 resource entries, which are links to apps, books, different tools, resources, mm-hmm. webinars, all kinds of stuff. We've got 1,000 shops in there in terms of the company directory. Only a couple hundred members right now, but you can go in, and if they filled out their profile, you can say, "Show me the shops that are distributed." Yeah, I mean, these are all checkbox things. I want to see who's distributed, and agile. And time and materials, and it'll sort it for you.
Wow,
it's pretty amazing. I mean, the potential is amazing. This is whatever day five, and I'm just like I'm still kind of blown away that it's even there.
That's
but we had
cool.
people, we had people show up, and they were like, you know, you got some security things here. It was really cool.
We've all launched websites around something we're trying to do. We've gotten the live QA checking from random people we don't know, tweets and emails.
And these are
It's a good thing.
These are members.
Well, that's right? Awesome.
So it's like, so these are people who gave us money and we'll totally listen. I've gotten the ones too, where it's like just somebody who said, "Hey, by the way, on line 7 of page 2."
Yeah.
And you're just like, you know
I, what, always, I always take that. I at first I was like, "Fuck that guy." But like, I take it as now that I'm older, I look at it in terms of like, hey, they care about this. So that's a good thing.
I think you mean now that you're a black belt. Now that you're a black belt, you look at these things and you realize that it's just another one of life's challenges. You shall punch in the throat.
That's right. Well, tell me, because I know, was it 2013? Was that? Jesus. Is that long ago? You were first doing this, right? Jellyfish Alliance.
Jellyfish Alliance.
How does this compare to that? And is it the same thing?
You know what? It morphed, right? Mm-hmm. So I made a public commitment, or not that anybody was there. It's not like I held a press conference. Mm-hmm. I put a thing on a blog, Gene. But I will say this: we had a logo. And if you have a logo for something, it's real.
It was an awesome logo.
You can become president on that shit. Anyway, we basically, the engine works. You know, we had the Jellyfish model rolling and it was working pretty well. Mm-hmm. And it was this idea, Jellyfish Alliance was this idea that shops could work together. Like if we had a baseline understanding of what we wanted to accomplish, who we were, what skills we each brought to the table and could check our egos at the door, that we would be able to create great things. I never lost sight of that idea.
Yeah.
And I thought that idea was amazing. And in many ways, it is what drew me to the Bureau when I was an attendee.
Okay.
But now that kind of running the thing, it's absolutely in the forefront. I mean, I never lost sight of the Jellyfish Alliance. And if you look at the Bureau, if you specifically look at the online community and the Slack channels, you know, it's just people are helping each other. These are shops who are not sitting there worrying about competition. They are sharing how they estimate time for a digital PM.
Right.
Or they're talking about the insurance that they carry, or they're talking about different ways to deal with clients and requests.
Wow.
So it's not exactly the same, because I was looking at ways to bring people together. What is ways to bring people together, but in a working sense.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a collaboration is one of the checkboxes that you can do when you search on the company directory on the online community. So if you just wanted to see shops that want to collaborate, you can do that.
That's cool.
And I'll also give a little plug here for Dan Mall and Superbooked, because he's working on Superbooked, mm-hmm. which is more for digital professionals, less on the shop side.
Right. It's more people, individuals. Yeah,
but I think shops could work it. I mean, they would have to find the individuals they want to work with. But Dan's really kind of tackling that Jellyfish Alliance concept as well, in trying to help people figure out how to self-form into really good teams.
Right.
They can work together. Because ultimately, none of us are employable. And we need to remember that.
Right. Yeah. I've tried that. It's not going to work.
So you fell back in love with period three.
Yeah.
Talk about that. What's period three doing?
Well, we sort of, I'd say slowly over the course of last year, but let me think here. Let's say August. Let's just pick a random time frame. We sort of relaunched, right? I came back on board. I have a new partner I'm working with, who's responsible for a lot of business, like real business development, in terms of, you know, talking to people that are outside of my network, you know, that's like people we'd never met before. And we're going after actual like sales and things like that. And he brings just a level of business maturity to the table that I've never really had. And we work really well together. And
are you breaking up with me?
No.
Are you telling me now about your new partner and all that he brings and you've never had that before?
Not in period three. Oh man.
This is how it ends.
It is. It's the beginning of the end, man. But yeah, so and we've had a few wins in terms of you know, landing some clients and getting some work done, and it's just fun again, you know? It's fun.
Dude,
it was not fun.
Fun again is the key.
It is, cuz it wasn't for a while and now it just is.
Yeah.
I just enjoy the approach. And you know, I've changed. I've changed a lot over, you know, the past 5 years. Doing this show with you has changed me, you know, the way I look at things and talk about things. And it's just fun again.
In many ways, this show was part of your black belt test.
I think it was.
Yeah. And congratulations to you, my friend.
Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, man.
You know, it was funny when we were going through and trying to find different content for the new online community. We were searching for podcasts and I kept finding BizCraft.
Yeah.
Like no matter what search terms I would do about digital professional, running a digital agency, running a web shop, it kept slapping me in the face. And I was like, okay, all right. We were doing stuff and we stopped. I'm sorry. My favorite though was this one review of BizCraft. The guy or the girl, the woman, whoever wrote this basically said, "And these guys don't mind getting emotional." And I was like, mind? It's like we have a choice. I mean, you do now, but yeah. I'm still out of touch.
Really, man. I can't help it. Don't mind getting emotional. That's funny. I never read that one.
No. There were a lot of them out there. A lot of people had us in their top five.
Well, let's make 2017... The year of BizCraft.
No, don't do it. We've done this again and again.
So basically,
we say we're back, we disappear.
Nah, listen.
It's like that. You know what? Our theme song should be.
What's that?
We should change it to Glory Gainers. I Will Survive.
That's a good one.
Because that's how our listeners feel.
That's a good one. That's a good
one. They should have changed that stupid lock.
I think if you did your research, came back again. If you did your research, you'd find that we're the longest running podcast in the industry with only 50 episodes. I think that's an accomplishment that should be celebrated.
That's like the person who has the seventh Twitter account and has tweeted 234 times.
It's us.
Half of those were the cat on the keyboard. Let me just tell
the listeners, we will never go away. We will always do BizCraft until we die. It just might be four more episodes between now and then, but we're not going away.
When you least expect it.
That's right.
An episode of BizCraft is going to leap out.
How many episodes do we have that we just never put up?
That we never released?
We have several.
Let's see. There was the naked episode. There was the, I'm not even going to say the name of that one.
I mean, I'm naked right now. Does that count? No.
You know, honestly, now I just anticipate that you're always floating a few feet off the floor.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, and I'm, wow.
You're always naked.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's why I work alone.
So today... today is technically, I don't know when we'll air this, but it's the 20th and I'm not watching the news today. Are you watching the news today?
No, I've seen some Twitter activity.
Yeah.
I've checked in with a few friends. I've had some personal conversations, cool. But I pull myself out of the echo chamber.
Yeah.
After we realized the echo chamber was the problem.
That's right. That was one of the episodes we recorded that we never released.
That was definitely an episode we never released. Oh my God.
Just the recovery episode.
Yeah, that was a woof.
Yeah. We'll dig that up one day. Like 4 years from now, we'll listen to it. How's that sound? Let's see how we felt.
Yeah, I don't think we'll need a reminder. Mm-mm.
Well, listen, tell me a little bit about the Bureau, man. How's that shaping up for 2017? It said you made a ton of plans.
Yeah, so
you got the jellyfish. Are you calling it jellyfish?
No, I didn't think so.
It's like just the Bureau Online, right?
Oh yeah, it's the Bureau Online community. So basically, we've got some new events this year. We got Biz Dev Camp.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear about. What's the deal?
Which
with
is one a lot of people. So the Bureau started in 2012. Greg Story, Greg Hoy, who we call the BFFs, the Bureau Founding Fathers.
The Gregs.
They basically started it. Brett Harned was part of it. Joe Rinaldi was in there, but had ideas around just getting people together to help each other. And so I was fortunate enough at the time. I was writing a lot about the jellyfish model,
right?
And they saw it and they thought I was either full of shit or onto something, and they just wanted to figure it out which one. honestly, they sent me an email and I replied back, "Why me?" And they said, "You're either full of shit or you're onto something." And so, and I was like, "I'll be there. I'll meet you, and we'll see."
That sounds just like them. Yeah, that's awesome.
Little bit of A, little bit of B. but they created these events, and I've talked about it before, but these events where basically people help each other. It's peer networking if you were to give it, put it in a category. But then last year, June-ish, I took over, and the idea we had was if we could get everything set with the events, then we could start this online community. And we knew we needed some new events, and one of them was Biz Dev Camp. And the idea was that people wanted to talk about business development, but they were always a little bit nervous about it, because they were going to give away their secrets. But then you ask them, "How are you doing?" And they were like, "Not very well." And you're like, so tell me about these big secrets you're going to give away for your biz dev that's kind of shitty. It's like, what if we get together and share
you're not
the
doing
little,
it. Yeah.
Exactly, right? Get together and share the little bits that are working. And then we've got a subject matter expert that's going to be coming in. And so it's going to be pretty cool. We're going to spend 4 days just talking about how we differentiate ourselves, how we market ourselves. Are case studies still relevant? How do we get clients to help promote us? What do we do to take the work today to get us the jobs tomorrow? And should we be thinking about that in the business development, at the very beginning? are there clients we shouldn't take because they can't take us any further? So that'll be happening. Designed leadership camps, a new one, which is pretty crazy. We've got heads of design teams of some of the biggest companies coming in. You know, Google's going to be there. Etsy, wow. Envision is an underwriting sponsor, right, so right. It's really the Bureau and Envision working together. It's insane. Wow. When you start looking at Consumer Reports, will be there. You know, all the people managing these digital brands, and some of them aren't digital. We've got some that have applied that are old school companies, mm-hmm. and you know, we got overloaded with well over 100 applications. So for 35 spots. So
you're doing something,
that's
right.
Pretty cool. And then the back to the online community. That's the idea of every day. And what's interesting, this is kind of a challenge because, you know, we live in this Slack world. Yeah. And you put something in and you expect something out. I mean, that's it. Like you type in, can anybody help me understand what I should be doing when it comes to figuring out the role of an account manager versus a DPM, right? And somebody gets back and they reply right away. Well, when you're on a site that's not communication centric, but is more threaded conversations, like a Reddit or something like that, right? It doesn't necessarily happen right away.
Right. It takes time.
People are going to check in once a day. It's not the kind of thing that they have open the whole time. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, and it's also email based. So it's kind of interesting to watch that. But the Slack stuff. Now Slack is releasing threaded messages. Did you see that?
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, that went through the industry like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they do a better job with that than they do with search.
Yeah. We could,
that search is so shitty. And could, most people lose all their content, 90 days later? Because how can you afford to pay? I'm not dogging Slack. It's a great tool.
Yeah, it is. And
we pay for the Bureau account, but for mm-hmm. all the other event accounts, like we've got, you know, we sold, Owner Summit sold out today at 150 tickets.
Congrats, man.
And, thanks. And we've got most of those people in a Slack channel, probably about 95 of them in a Slack channel, so a third, two thirds or whatever, to actually pay for those people to be in there.
Oh, you'd be broke.
Woo.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how Slack is. I mean, they must be making money, but
I'm sure they are, dude. They're getting my money. You know, we could do a whole show on Slack. But I want to talk a little bit about BizDev, if that's okay with you, because you have the BizDev camp coming up, and I've been sort of experiencing it for the first time with Period 3 here. And just, you know, you've got more experience than I have, probably in that realm of talking to other shops and seeing what they've done and et cetera, you know what I mean? But,
yeah.
You know, I used to think that BizDev was just like, it was like sales, right? Like, yeah, you got to go get some business, you know,
gotta get some business.
Yeah.
Business time.
Yeah. But it's really much more than that. Right. It's,
oh dude.
I mean, the term biz dev doesn't really like encompass when you're actually practicing that, when you're practicing like working on your business instead of in your business.
Yep.
That word, we need a new word for it.
Well, business development is like this big overarching term that people use to mean sales.
Yeah, and it's not sales at all.
Somebody will say biz dev guy because they think sales guy is an insult.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, honestly, business development is, there's an aspect of business development in everything that you do.
That's right.
And it's the same with quality assurance, right? Or reputation management or whatever. But business development is, I mean, it's the way that you put together the initial proposal. It's the way that you give the pitch.
Right.
It's the work that you do today. You know, business development is when you have a designer or you have a developer or you have somebody on your team who comes to you and says, we have this idea. It's out of scope. The client may or may not approve it, but we think if we can show we know how to do this, mm-hmm. that we'll get a lot more business.
Yeah. That's
preparing, right?
Right.
That's making sure you're putting yourself in a position to win business that wouldn't have looked at you otherwise.
Right, right. Making strategic decisions.
And no salesperson is going to show up.
No.
And tell you to do that. That's why I think biz dev is, I mean, it's ingrained in your culture.
Right.
If people love where they work and they want that place to do well, they are working on biz dev every day.
That's right.
Because they're trying to improve the product that you have to sell.
And you built a conference around this whole concept? That's impressive.
Well, it's actually, I mean, it's a camp, so it's small.
Okay, cool.
It's just going to be, you know, 30-ish attendees.
Ah, right, right, right. I forgot about the camps.
And they are going to basically share what's working, what's not working. And over the better part of 4 days, you know, we're going to talk about the topics they want to talk about. And I would be willing to bet you that a lot of it, I mean, it's going to come down to things like what is and isn't spec work.
Right. They're going to, yeah, you're going to have some of that.
I mean, there's going to be some heated conversations because there's some shops who have grown themselves and basically, I mean, just to a level that's like unseen by creating work that the client didn't ask for.
Oh, yeah.
So if the client doesn't ask for it, but you wanted to do it, is that spec work?
Exactly.
Some people would say yes.
Well, your competitors will.
They will say they did work without being paid for it. Or is that a new business initiative? Is that business development? Because you said, you know what? I'm working with this client. They're in real estate. They don't understand what they can do with virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put together this little demonstration. What's the difference between putting together a proposal and a demonstration and something that you own but share with them so they can see?
I'm sure
somebody will say spec work the client owns or whatever, but I think we get too hung up and we hurt ourselves by not showing an idea in its best form.
Yep. Yeah. We have these like self-imposed rules on how we do things and we all try to like fit within this rule set and man, this is life. You know what I mean? Like from a business standpoint, that conversation, if you're spending money on a salesperson, what's the difference in using that money and spend it on the proposal or the demonstration like you're talking about? It's the same money. It's the same money from the business's standpoint.
Yep, like, absolutely.
Like just think about it differently and put it in a different bucket. And you might achieve your same end result, right?
Yeah,
sure. I mean, all because you want to tick a box on the AIGA website for no spec work or something, I don't know.
Which I do think spec work is bad. I think
spec work is bad when you empower the client to get shit for free because they're imposing their will on you doing shit for free.
Right? Which I would say is the definition of spec work. A client asks for something. Well, no, a prospect or a client.
Yeah, where they're like, show me three logos and I'll see if I like them. That's
with the promise of tomorrow.
Fuck.
But if you decide to show them three without them asking.
That's not spec work.
I would say that's biz dev.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and they don't own it.
That's right.
They don't get to keep it. And that's where I start to get, you know, and so this will, I have no doubt that at BizDev Camp, this is going to become
a
heated conversation. Because the other thing is, it's almost like, you know, old school dueling.
Yeah.
There were rules.
Yeah.
And so if we're going into a pitch against other companies and we expect there to be rules, like we're all going to be cool about spec work, right?
Yeah, right.
Nobody's going to show up with a campaign in the can, are they? Right? And then you find out somebody – I mean, I was on a call like this.
Yeah, I've done many.
We were on a call with with Busch Gardens up in Virginia somewhere. And they wanted Engine to do their Hollywood their Horror Nights thing.
Gotcha.
Right? And there was no better person in the world than my business partner, Varick Rossetti,
to do any
type of gory,
hands down,
horrid, just disastrous work.
Right.
He was the king of bad work. And
In a good way. Yeah.
But we ended up on this third phone call, and it was us and two other shops.
Mm.
And Busch Gardens started the call by saying, okay, well, here's what we want you to show us. show us what a homepage would look like.
Yeah.
Show us what a poster would look like, and show us what a promotional table card, tent card, whatever would look like. And I said, I can't speak for the other two shops, but that's spec work, and that's going to be a problem for us. And Busch Gardens said to the other two shops, do either of you have a problem with this? And they both went, nope. And I went, well.
Yeah, I guess I'm off the call.
Hey, guess what? I got my afternoon back. So, yeah, I hung up pretty much. I said, all right, everybody have a good day.
If you're a business that answers a lot of RFPs, you'll see that in a lot of RFPs where they'll just straight up ask for like a, show us what the homepage will look like, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I used to.
Fuck that.
You know that, I mean, my whole RFP strategy was to reply and tell them what they were doing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked.
Or just mark up the RFP. Whenever I saw that request for spec work, I would always circle it and say, only shops who don't have paying clients will have the time to do this.
That's right.
So if you want to hire somebody that nobody else is hiring.
Go for it.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Or they're going to put a B team in on it. Or when you hire them, they're going to put their A team on somebody else's spec work. And you'll get the B team then. So it's like, there's just no way to win it. But I think there is this, just this definition that, that just doesn't exist.
Yep.
You know, where is the line in terms of what spec work?
Yeah. You're going to get a lot of that.
You're back in it, man. So, so period three is doing okay.
Yeah, we are. We are. We're kicking ass in this first quarter already. I'm pumped.
Yeah,
man.
What kind of work is it?
It's web development. We do in a ton of web apps. So lots of mobile web apps.
Is this the internet?
Yeah.
I heard about the internet.
Yeah, it's coming, man. It's you know, you need to start thinking about the future.
Now, I heard in the future there'll be a little coin slot on all of our devices that we have to put money in to keep using the internet. Do you think that's true or?
Apple's working on that right now.
Oh, is it Apple?
Yeah,
I thought it was a government initiative.
Oh, it's Apple. I think they're both the same, aren't they?
Oh, come on now.
No?
Oh, too far. And too soon.
It is too soon.
It's only been like 42 minutes.
I would be perfectly okay if Apple bought the United States and just ran it like Apple. I would be okay with that.
I might be okay with that. I've never been at Apple and seen how they actually operate.
That's true. It is kind of a secret.
Yeah.
It might be horrible.
We wouldn't be able to tell each other what we're working on. I know that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You and I would just be building iPhones.
Pretty much. I mean, like in a factory.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the truth. Pretty sure that's how that would go.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, the spec work thing. So the biz dev, like I said, I'm experiencing that really for the first time. I mean, I've always been the one sort of, you know, get the clients, close the deal, and get the work in the door. But I'm working with this with Greg. You've met Greg before.
I've met Greg.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I met him at the pitch night.
That's right. That's right. He's just kind of changed the way I'm thinking about the business and approaching work. And you know, from day one, when you're working with a client, thinking about, well, how are we going to be working with this client after this project and a year from now, and what's that going to look like? And it changes the type of work you do.
Well, it does. And if you've got somebody who's strictly focused on maintaining the relationship, which gets to account manager, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that's a weird thing this year. Actually, starting middle of last year, I started hearing people talk about account managers. I had not heard that in the digital space before. I had only heard that in the traditional agency space, the advertising space.
Right.
And now we're seeing account managers come in. And I don't know if this is a maturity or an evolution or what it is. I mean, like last year, if you look at it, we had, like, for the most part, shops had a bad first quarter, second quarter, whatever, but started to rebound in the third and fourth quarter. So I wonder if this account manager, this idea that we need to manage the individual clients, whereas for a lot of us, we were project-based.
Yeah.
I mean, project-based was not even a term in your more advertising agency world. It was all relationship-based.
Right, right.
But that's kind of interesting. So now account management comes in. And now, I mean, you a lot of people looking for that biz dev person.
Yeah.
And you brought Greg in. So he's thinking almost, I would say, kind of like an account manager about what comes next.
Well, he's very much an account manager for us. And I don't know what the difference is, but he's both. He'd be biz dev and account manager for us. I mean, we're small. There's only like four of us. So he's kind of filling that role. And I'm able to focus on the actual like operations, not in terms of like, you know, making sure the lights are coming on and off, but like the operations of the projects, making sure that shit's working right. You know, the people who are building stuff have what they need. I'll spend a lot of time up front, like envisioning and designing the overall concept, you know, so applying like real business thinking. And then the you know, I've got like 15 years of experience just like building shit. So you put that together and it's kind of nice, you know, and then he can come in and really help communicate that to the client. And it's smooth. I've never had that before, you know.
So in terms of Greg, is his main focus like people that he already knows? Is he out there beating the streets? I mean, like, what is his process? Is he sharing with you things that he thinks would be good blogs or good whatever, you know, good things to post?
We're gonna get into that. We haven't done any actual marketing or, you know, like positioning of Period 3 or anything like that yet. We've been talking about that. We're gonna get going on that here soon. It's mostly been just working our like mine and his personal networks. So, you know,
it's a good place to start.
It's
the best place to start.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things we did is we went through our current client list and just looked at who we liked, and then we just started systematically going back and talking to these people because the easiest thing to sell is someone you've already sold something before, right? So we were just like, let's go see let's go see if they still like us. And some
there are a few people, Gene, that I've sold stuff to.
Yeah, I was going to say complete transparency.
Should not go back to.
Complete transparency. Some did not like us, and that was a little humbling for me. It was a humbling experience, and I feel like I grew from it. Just going back and letting them tell me what I fucked up, and it was cool. And I'm like, hey, you're not going to work with me again, but I will not make those mistakes again.
No, that's true. And sometimes they let their lawyer tell your lawyer where you fucked up, and
that's. I've been there before, but
whole different level of not going to work together.
Man, that hurts. So that's fascinating. I would love to hear what other shops do in terms of, you know, their actual positioning and their thinking about where they're taking their business and who they're working with.
You know, the thing I hear the most is, where do you find the time?
Really?
Yeah, because they don't have a dedicated person.
Right.
So, and I think for a shop that doesn't have a biz dev person, a salesperson, and these are different people, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, the traditional concept of a salesperson is somebody who doesn't care if it's a plate or a website or an app or whatever.
Right.
They're going to sell it to
you. Yeah.
Whereas a biz dev person, I think, tries to make sure that you're in position.
That's right.
To win business as well as, you know, helping you close and all that kind of stuff.
And that's a big difference between that and sales.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I think biz dev is as much a philosophy as it is a role. Because it's something that you need to be paying attention to every day.
I like that. Yeah, man, it's how you wrap up a project, right? If you're finishing, you know, the final 10% on anything is the hardest fucking part to finish, right?
Shh. we had a developer we used to work with. We used to call him 90%.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, 90%?
Yeah.
Because that last 10, baby, he couldn't get it done.
It just doesn't do it. They're done.
He would rock the 90.
Yeah.
Totally, we should have called him that. What's up, rock the 90?
Rock the 90. Yeah.
That would have been a lot nicer.
But you need that person on your team to like champion that final 10% and really push you and make you do a superior job wrapping that up, because that's what wins you more business from that same customer.
No, it's true.
And that's, man, I've only working with him for like 6 months now, but I'm like, how in the hell did we last this long and we not do this shit? Because I've always been project based. I'm like, let's get this website. Let me get your money. Here's your shit. Bye. Where's the next one?
Yeah, you know, and I've done the door on your way out.
And it's like, how many websites have we built over the years where we could have built a hell of a lot less and made a lot more money, you know, just because we work with the same people, You know, it makes me ill to think about that, just the wasted opportunities over the years, because I see it.
Yeah, without a doubt. And we've got this research that we've been working on. We're working with a group called 40 Digits out of Kansas City, and they've got a researcher, Jeffrey, over there. And so we took all of the shops in the bureau, reached out to the owners of those shops, and had about, I think it's 140, 150 that replied to this state of the industry survey.
Oh, wow.
Where last year they pretty much let us know, you know, how things went.
Right.
And we're able to look at it and say, okay, you know what? Specialists had a better year in 2016 than generalists, and people who were team-based or people who ran sprints or people who, you know, actually had much, I guess you would say, much more lenient billing methodologies. So like, that's one thing for sure, right?
Yeah.
The age of the huge deposit is pretty much over.
Yeah.
The age of the huge retainer, the medium-sized retainer, you know, I mean, they're these things. So that's part of the cool stuff at the Bureau, too, is now that we've got all these shops like kind of collecting the knowledge and trying to see, even though we're a very small drop, I mean, there's 150,000 digital agencies, however you define that, in North America. So
really? That makes me kind of sick.
It's unbelievable.
Okay.
But so figure that – that even looking at what these 150 shops did within our network of 1,000, that's a really relevant number.
Right.
But I mean, that's one of the things. It's business development is also about figuring out all of your different approaches, right? Not your culture. Your culture needs to drive you.
Yeah.
Right. But when it comes to, well, you know, time and materials, value-based, retainer, whatever, sometimes clients are going to hire you based on one of those.
Yeah.
And if you're losing a lot of work, but sticking to your guns, well, you know, tell them at the bar what you used to do.
Right.
But if you're open to realizing the world's going to change, mm-hmm. and the only way that we can stop it is if we all agree to do the same thing, which is never going to happen.
No, come on. Yeah.
Then all you can do is have somebody who also has their finger on that pulse,
right?
To figure out what is it that is going to drive your company forward based on what clients are not only looking for, but what they can do. I mean, sometimes it's not even them. You know, it's they've got overlords who are telling them what they can and can't do.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, especially if it's the Fortune 500, whatever size company. You know what I mean? The person you're talking to is not the person that you got to make happy. Like up the chain.
I think you mean Fortune 5000. That's what I put on my website. Fortune 5000 logo.
That's my favorite. People are like, we only take projects that are 100,000 and above.
It's really disappointing. My Fortune 5000 logo, I accidentally cut off two of the zeros.
Yeah, it's canvas people size, not image size. Fuck.
People pay a lot of money for that shit.
Yeah.
The Fortune 5000 thing or Fortune 5. No, yeah. What is it? I got it right, Fortune 5000?
I don't know which one it is, but I know what you're talking about.
But they pay a lot of money and they get in there. And I wonder, you know, from a business development standpoint, does that work?
I don't know.
Do people see that and go, wow.
Whoa.
I should check out the other 4,999.
Yeah, let me shop this around.
I mean, it's almost like a Barnes and – or a, I almost said Barnes and Noble stole Amazon. I am so old.
It's okay.
But it's almost like the Amazon top 10 list.
At least he didn't say Walden Books.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, my God. Gene, are you okay?
Keep going.
You going to make it? Okay. But it's almost like I'm totally lost now. I just can't stop thinking about Walden Books. Like, what happened to them?
I don't know.
These went away, man.
They did.
Were they even acquired, or did somebody just say, just shut it down?
I don't know. They just stopped showing up in the mall one day.
Oh, but you didn't.
No, I keep going.
Really? You're allowed to go now?
I mall walk. I get up early and I walk the mall with my sneakers.
Okay, so I'm just going to say this, and anybody can get mad that wants to, but I saw it on Twitter. I cannot acknowledge that it is correct or not, and I may be perpetuating fake news. However, Trump's approval rating coming into office, 37%. Hmm. Mall cop on Rotten Tomatoes, 38%.
Oh, man.
And that's why we're going to end up in a big war.
Hey, Mall Cop is a superior film.
Compared to what? What is it superior
to? To no films.
So if there was no film, if film did not exist.
Yes.
Then Mall Cop would be... I'm going to say... Well,
not
no,
even then?
I'm not going to say okay.
Come on, man.
No, because that would be saying that assuming there was no... leader of the what used to be free world.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I threw you off with the Walden Books comment.
No, you did. The Walden Books thing just made me sad.
Yeah, I used to buy some books from there.
You know what? And there's still that that other one that's still out there. It starts with a B. What is it?
Barnes & Noble?
No, you got Barnes & Noble.
It's still out there. Books a Million.
Books a Million.
Yeah, that was gross.
Is there a nastier place?
I don't think so. They sell like records and stuff. I don't understand what's going on.
Books a Million is like
toys and shit. It's like, what happened to the books?
And it's just not well kept.
No. It's like the Walmart of books.
And yet it's somehow, you know what? I was going to say that, but I don't know who's listening to this show. Could be some of the Waltons are listening.
It could be. Hey, we're sorry. Give me some money. Yeah. Give me some money, yeah. Waltons.
There we go. Just blew that sponsorship.
Yeah, I think you did. You did.
Me?
You did it.
You said it, not me.
I'm sorry. Well, I want to do a future show on more of this biz dev talk. I think it's super important.
Just stop and say you want to do a future show. That's all you got to say. I want to do a future show. Oh, Gene, that would be amazing. I think we should do at least one more.
I mean, I bought this damn microphone and everything. We should probably do another show.
Oh, dude, I have like really nice stuff in a box that it was sent to me to do better stuff. Now it was sent to me and actually put on my credit card, so it's a little bit of a different story. But
oh, I know who did that then. That's funny. But and maybe we can find somebody to, kind of run us over the coals, asking us questions about why the hell it's important. I think that'd be kind of cool because
there you go.
We'll see where we stand.
I bet we could do that. You know, I have a few people in mind that I bet could add a little flavor, a little sauciness. Let's
figure that out. Well, dude, what you drinking beer? I know you're drinking beer.
I am, Gene.
So am I.
I'm drinking a beer from Mills River, North Carolina.
Ooh, what's that?
Sierra Nevada.
Oh.
Low pale ale. Sorry if I disappointed you.
No, that's my favorite. I'm wearing a Sierra Nevada shirt right now.
What? I thought you were naked.
I got cold.
My world has changed.
They opened a Sierra Nevada brewery in Asheville, which is
I know
about an hour 45 from where I live, and that place is like Willy Wonka factory, like incredible. Everyone should go.
So listen to this. Mm. Guess where the Owner Summit social event is going to take place?
Oh, there?
Ballast Point.
Ballast Point. Oh, that's cool.
And you're going to drink me some grapefruit sculpin.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're in Asheville.
If there's any left.
If you're in Asheville for the Owner Summit, the Sierra Nevada, it's a good 40 minutes outside of town. Cause it's out by the airport.
It is. We were there for Operations Camp. Owner Summit's in San Diego.
Okay.
So it's a lot further of a drive.
Yeah, that's kind of a drive.
Yeah, but Ballast Point.
You might be closer to the other Sierra Nevada.
And I think Stone Brewery's in San Diego, aren't they?
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm sure somebody will correct us of the three people that are listening.
Yeah, as long as you don't say it's from Atlanta. So I got me a nice strawberry blonde Belmont Ooh. Brewing. It tastes pretty good.
Was that in my honor?
It was.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Carl, I promise we'll do another show. Sooner than later. We should do one in like 2 weeks. And I will try to get the live going again, and we'll see how that goes.
That sounds good. And yeah, man. Everybody listening, as long as we have community service, we'll keep doing this show.
All right. Until then, keep it weird, man.
Later, brother.